Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, friends, my audience, my wonderful audience, my favorite hour of the week, to impart to you a little bit of health wisdom, mostly. Today, I have an oldie but a goodie. Title of show, Are You Getting Your Breath? The Vital Importance of Diaphragmatic Breath. I'm going to break this down for you like no other. If you're sick and tired of being sick, if you're symptomatic, if you're healthy, if you have any concern about how to go about your health paradigm, and I mean this is from sickness to radiant health, you've got to understand what it means to get your breath. In a better world, when you lined up each year for your physical exam, one of the questions you'd be asked by your caring physician was, do you get your breath? That would be a better world. That would be a healthier world. We take breathing for granted. We think it's just normal. You inhale and you breathe. What could be more simple? Fact of the matter is, it is very simple, but you see, we're great at complicating things. So what we call baby breath, what we call healthy breath, what we call the breath that keeps you healthy is something most people don't do. I would wager you 9.9 people out of 10 don't breathe diaphragmatically, and everybody has a version of it, and I think most people are hallucinating their version of it. So I'll do that characteristic Medici statement. I think we're really just myopic about this. I don't think we're getting it because we haven't hooked up one simple fact. If you're going to believe you're doing your version of breath correctly, you've got to show it in the change in the physiology of the body. To some of you, this is very new. To others that have investigated the different forms of breath work that are out there, in the end, you've got to measure the changes in the physiology of the body to really determine whether or not that breath sequence is helping you. Breath is massage to the organs. The organs that get sick, the organs that get symptomatic. If breath is proper, if it is true what we call diaphragmatic breath, those organs are washed as in washing machine each and every time you take a breath. Now that pumping action through correct breath, which we're going to start to get into and lay out in specifics in a few moments, that pumping action on your organs is what purges the poison out of the organ. What causes your disease is purged through proper breath. And I'll make a statement ahead of time, and that is that to really ensure yourself, whatever your version of breath is, that you're getting true breath, diaphragmatic breath, I'll call it today, that you're getting diaphragmatic breath, the proof of it, what you have to hold yourself or your teacher or your yoga instructor accountable to is whether or not your version of breath moves prana or chi. See, now I just connected two very big concepts, diaphragmatic breath and prana. If Pavarotti or Caruso or any of the great operas, any of the great operatic talents understand diaphragmatic breath, Well, they have to understand prana. And as far as the health of the body's concerned, until your version of diaphragmatic breath produces prana, you're not going to get the health benefit. And that opens up a can of worms, because in holistic medicine, as well as everywhere else, we've got all these versions of prana. So I'm going to try to keep it very simple for you today. If you can take a breath and feel a warm, glowy feeling, very pleasant, very much filled with opiate, that gets you very high, a warm, like warm water moving through your body, up and down your spine, throughout your arms and your legs, up the back of your neck. If when you take a breath, you get this flow, this warm flow of energy, and it gets you very relaxed, well then, by golly, you've got it. Look to your animals, look to your infants, look for people who have been purified or who have remained pure. Look to people who know how to relax. Some of you are doing this already naturally, but most of you, the vast majority of you, really have no understanding of what I'm talking about right now, and you must. As I said, in a better world, you would literally be asked this each year during your physical exam at Kaiser. Your Kaiser physician would inquire as to whether or not you get your breath. Because it does have a vast influence on your health. It has a beyond substantial effect on your health. Breath is everything in the end. But again, what do we mean by getting your breath? Well, there's one standard you must hold yourself accountable to. Again, that when you take a breath, whatever version of breath you have, that you're going to get a warm, warm water-like feeling spreading out to all parts of your body, creating an enormously blissful feeling, a very good feeling, a very relaxing feeling. Now, if that's what your breath does for you, you've already got it. And again, animals, as always, your dogs, your cats, they're doing this all the time. Your animals are getting stoned when they breathe. Your animals are getting high when they breathe. Animals understand breath. And that's why animals do the amazing things animals do. So again, I'm going to make that analogy to your cat, your feral cat. Some of you have feral cats, right? Well, think about that animal. It practices yoga half the day. It breathes diaphragmatically. And what you see the animal capable of doing is handling the extreme, barbaric, torturous, chaotic environment when it's outside, fighting with other cats, dodging coyotes, ducking eagles or hawks, running from bobcats, doing all sorts of things that if that cat were a person, I guess the way to say it is what your feral cat encounters in an afternoon, just in an average afternoon, would put a normal human being in an insane asylum. Think about it. When was the last time somebody tried to take a bite out of you and cannibalize you, eat you alive? I mean, you could look at it from so many angles. You get the point. What animals endure out there in the wilderness is enough to put your average human being in the nut house. And yet, what happens to those animals? Every single day they go through it, or some version of it. And every single day they come back into the house, lie on the floor, and about 10 or 15 minutes or an hour, even under the worst circumstances, all of a sudden, they're your cuddly little kitten. Now think about that and what's behind that. And what I offer to you is that these animals use their breath to get into their parasympathetic nervous system. That's fascinating. That's what we should be doing. We'll get into this later. Right now, I want to break down breath for you. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to my website if you can. That's straighttalk.cc. Two T's, straighttalk.cc, not .com. Get to the website. If you're driving, listen. I've got pictures on the website that go with the show. Everybody knows that. If you're new to the show, just imagine what I'm talking about as I try to describe it. But get to the website because the pictures are used to match. You can learn so much more. About what? About another massive indice of health. You got to ask yourself the right questions when you have a symptom. And rather than focus on the symptom, you've got to checklist the laws of health. My shows, 273 of them to date after 5 years and going quite strong, asking America to get more educated rather than look for the supplemental cure, asking you to understand that health and getting rid of your symptom and getting radiant health and getting rid of your disease and getting radiant health is about subscription to the laws of health. And one of those laws of health is, are you getting your breath? But defining what that means with power, not with hallucination, not with coffee table talk versions of stuff like breath that in the end don't mean anything to anybody. And that's what I offer to you as the importance of these shows. This stuff, if you listen and you learn over time, it will stick to your ribs. But you've got to get educated. So if you can, get to the website. That's straighttalk.cc, two T's, .cc, not .com. All right, picture number one. Well, let's do this. Let's go to picture number six. Take a look at picture number six. Now, that's a picture of the diaphragm. That diaphragm is dome-shaped. And that dome shape is connected to the rib cage. It's a weird-looking organ, the diaphragm. So we're talking about diaphragmatic breath. We're talking about the diaphragm. The diaphragm is its own entity. Look at picture seven. If you really want to get an understanding of the diaphragm, just check out picture number seven. That might as well be an octopus. Honestly, it looks like some form of a mollusk. Some boneless sludge out there in the ocean just floating around. That thing is cryptic. But that's your diaphragm. You see that tongue? That tongue? That thing down the center of it? It looks like a spike. That's what attaches to your spine, to the vertebra of your spine. That diaphragm is glued. And then the edges of that dome are attached to your rib cage. Boy, if you can get to the website to get to the pictures, please do this for this show. I'll do the best I can to describe it to you because you're driving, but you got to get to the website. I mean, look at that thing. Those of you smart enough to be on the website right now, how could you really understand that? Look at that thing. It's like a mollusk. It's an octopus. It's an alien. What is that? It's connected. It's tied in to your spine. And then it's tied into the underside of your rib cage in a dome shape. That's the diaphragm. Now, in the center of the diaphragm is something called the central tendon. So go to picture number one. Picture number one, you're looking at the diaphragm. You got to get perspective. You're looking at that dome from the underside. So if you were down there by your waist looking up under the rib cage, you'd be on the underside of a dome. At the center of that dome is none other than the diaphragm. At the center of that dome is the central tendon of the diaphragm, I should say. that tendon controls the torque or the tension in that dome. And when you get angry and when you live frustrated, and if you're gestating in the womb and fighting for your life, and when you're born, if your parents aren't nice to you, and after you reach puberty, if you don't feel like your life has come together, and into your 20s and your 30s and your 40s and your 50s, every moment you find yourself frustrated or externalizing anger or internalizing anger, the central tendon of the diaphragm tightens. Now that's the catch 22. The minute that central tendon tightens, you've lost your breath. You don't know what breath is anymore. Babies lose their breath. Everyone loses their breath somewhere along the line. Why? Because human beings are thrown into a barrel of snakes. The world is hostile. You know, if you read anything about birth trauma, how many people during gestation are just simply little fetuses fighting for their life? You know, we talk about abortion and all sorts of things like this, and we give so much attention to it, and yet we have no understanding whatsoever of birth trauma. I don't mean trauma when you're birthing. I mean trauma when you're gestating. Trauma when your mother has high anxiety. Trauma when the neurosis your mother brings in relative to her relative happiness or unhappiness that transfers into the fetus. And we call it genetic. It's not genetic. It's the transfer of neurotic patterns, fear, grief, sadness, anger from the mother to the gestating embryo. And it's locking up the tendon, the central tendon of the diaphragm before you're even birthed down the canal. Now, if you add to that the trauma of life, the minute that tendon tightens, well, this is what doesn't happen then. So I want you to hold that concept. The central tendon of the diaphragm seizes on you. Go to picture 8. When you take a deep breath, there's a sequence. The belly goes out and the diaphragm comes down. If that diaphragm does come down, then the diaphragm pushes down as far as it can go, and then the rib cage expands. And as the rib cage expands, the first and second rib expand. And as the first and second rib expand, muscles in the front of the neck called the scalenes lengthen and stretch as the upper rib cage expands. And then the back of your head, where the occiput and C1 and C2 begin to separate, and this creates the parasympathetic impulse that sends out from the vagus nerve to all your organs, and you get the feeling of bliss, and you get the feeling of prana or chi or whatever you want to call it. This prana thing, this chi thing, as Christians, don't get confused with this. The Chinese didn't invent chi, and the Indians didn't invent prana. All human beings on all faces of the globe, if they're in proper balance, if they live in love, will feel this more easily. If they lived a relaxed, balanced existence, will feel this. And it's something some people feel all the time, but we just don't put a word on it. It's a warm, elated, euphoric sensation that flows through the body. The best, I think, analogy I can give your common alien, if I was going to put it in one little moment, I would say when you lie in a hair salon and you have that woman wash your hair before you get your hair done, when they put the shampoo on in the cold water and they put their fingers into your head, think about it, and your neck is in the sink and your neck is slightly pulled because of the shape of the sink. You know what I'm talking about. You get a little cervical traction on a Friday afternoon after a hard week at work as you're getting your hair washed. And what do those girls always do? They always make sure they do what? They massage your scalp because they watch people chill. You know, they may be looking for their tip. But the smart ones know that if they can put your neck in a little cervical traction, think about it. Think about it when you get your hair done. You go into that cervical traction, you lie back in the seat, and then you get your hair shampooed, you get the water on the hair, and then you massage the scalp. The way it feels, that's what I mean by prana. Now, can you imagine having that sensation course through your body per unit breath? I do that every day, me personally. If there's one thing I bring to the table, to the card game of health, it's my breath is open. It's been open for years. It opened, I can remember the day it opened. It was 1990. It was a Sunday afternoon, and I took a breath, and I felt that feeling you feel when you're getting your hair washed at the salon. And from that day on, when I take a breath, I have that feeling. That is a big deal. I don't think I'd even be here if I didn't have that vital tool. With the life I live with sick people, people are sick. They're getting sicker. How can't they get sicker? Wasn't Putin on internet the other night talking about NATO and missiles and how we're coursing towards World War III? This is Putin. I thought he was our friend. I thought things were good, didn't you? Check the internet out. Don't check the internet out. The point is, the stress levels in the world are producing more sick people all the time. How are we going to do it without tools? Breath is the single most vital tool you can bring to the game. If you really train yourself to understand what it is to get your breath, you will change. It changed me many years ago. So get your breath. You can't get your breath because when the central tendon tightens due to anxiety, frustration, you lock your diaphragm. So now you're 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60. You're listening to this show and you take your breath. Forget it. You're not going to get a breath. That central tendon is locked. Once it locks, you can have your version of breath. It's a hallucination. And again, where the rubber meets the road is around the distinction between do you get that warm flow or not? And people have idiotic variations of this everywhere. Some people do this mouth breath stuff where they hyperventilate themselves and they get dizzy and tingly in their head. And they all get together like a group and they all take these breath sessions where they pass out, which is a pleasure if your life is miserable enough under the anxieties of life to sort of get lightheaded and tingly and pass out for a while, not know where you are. Well, that's kind of a relief, but this is not what I'm talking about. This is not what really works. Lama's breath, the breath we teach women to birth children. If you don't know what I'm talking about, maybe you understand Lama's breath. Now, you know, built into Lama's breath is a very special honesty. You're birthing a baby down that canal of yours with a fat head. And if you make a mistake, well, you can't afford to make a mistake. It's costly to birth a kid with a big fat head down a vaginal canal. Very costly. So Lama's, built into Lama's then, is some safeguards. If Lama's doesn't get the job done, women suffer. Lama's breath is wonderful stuff. What they're trying to give you in Lama's breath is really the breath I'm talking about. Stick to Lama's. Stick to that as an indice. Stick to that feeling you get when that lady washes your hair and massages your scalp on a hot Friday afternoon after work. Look at your animals. Look at your infants. Look at your infants breathe and look at that belly go in and out and in and out, in and out. Most people, because of society, have jammed up in the central tendon and they've jammed up in the rectus abdominis. Go to picture number 12. Picture number 12. Most people are so tight in the rectus abdominis, the abdominal muscles, the abdominal fascia, that when they take the breath, they can't expand through the stomach because the fascia is locked. So working against a breath is tension in the central line of the body, where the rectus abdominis is, the stomach. And then working against you is the central tendon of the diaphragm is locked up. Those are two reasons why people don't get their breath. Thus, what are we arguing here? The relationship between flexibility and breath. Until you're relatively flexible, you don't get your breath. You can't have breath without significant flexibility. This is why we have to concede to a certain wisdom. Here in the West, we have to concede to a certain wisdom. In the Christian community, we have to concede to a certain wisdom. And that is the wisdom that you find in yoga, in Tai Chi, in Qigong. That this isn't derived out of Europe, out of Christian theology, should not daunt us. Absorb what's useful. So whether it's Chinese or Vedic medicine, they understand how you have to be flexible. Gymnastics, martial arts, yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, Kung Fu. We do understand flexibility. Dance, we understand flexibility. And the point is, without flexibility in certain muscles, there's no way you can proceed effectively with the biomechanics of breath. Belly out, diaphragm down, expansion of the rib cage so that the pec minor, the rhomboids, the scalenes, and the suboccipital space, those muscles all have to stretch out to allow you to pump your body. And unless you get that pumping, that pulsing, brought to you by the flexibility of those muscles, you're not going to get the vagal release. The vagus nerve will not grace you. It will not confer to you. It will not bestow upon you its pleasures. But you do understand this because you have a cat, because you have a dog, because you've watched infants, because you get your hair washed once a month on a Friday afternoon at the salon. Breath is supposed to bring you to that state. It's as if that great feeling, think of that optimal moment in the chair at the hair salon, or when you get that foot massage, or when somebody you trust massages your feet or your hands. Think of that optimal moment, and then think of pumping that feeling into your body with every breath. That's very big. And there's a hookup between that and your health, and resolution of your symptoms, and improvement of your health, and the end of disease. There's hookups between the two. We'll get to those hookups in a moment. So, rectus abdominis, take a look at picture 12. Pec minor, look at picture 13. Scalenes, look at picture 14. The posterior cervical muscles of the suboccipital space. Look at these muscles. Look at picture 16. Occiput C1, C2. Those bones have to separate. The occiput, the first and second cervical vertebra, have to separate. They have to pump. You cannot get to the parasympathetic side of the autonomic nervous system unless this occurs. And once you get there, you will pulse an electromagnetic frequency to organs to organize them intelligently. You have to understand your herbs don't work unless you have the system working for you. You'll get 10% of the herb instead of 100% of the herb. Unless you can fundamentalize, create on a solid foundation health, and unless you can do this, all the other therapies don't work. They move the ball a little bit, but they won't get the job done. Breath is life. Breath means connect to the autonomic nerves. Do you know how many breath systems we have? And when you start getting your breath, it starts bringing up your emotion. Breath is an unconscious act. You don't think about breathing. Have you been thinking about breathing? Do you get up in the morning and go to work, and while you're in the shower, think about your breath? On the way to work, think about your breath. At work with your colleagues, think about your breath. You don't think about your breath because your breath is part of the unconscious nervous system. But you can think about your breath. You can hold your breath. You can speed your breath up. You can manipulate your breath. Breath is one of those things we have a conscious and an unconscious control over. Think about that. Breath is one of those things we have a conscious and unconscious control over. That is a really big statement. Why? Because breath then is the gateway to the subconscious. And in your subconscious is your disease. At the root of your disease is all sorts of problems in your emotional, spiritual life. Now, you may not get to it that way. You may purge to it nutritionally, but in the end, you will end up in the emotional, spiritual realm. You are sitting there symptomatic with disease, listening to this show on your car, in your car, on the way to wherever you're going. If you suffer from it, at the root of it, you're talking disease. At the root of it, you're talking a spiritual, psychological, emotional imbalance. And the only way to purge it is to get into the unconscious, and breath is the gateway to it. So breath is a purgative. It's an emotional purgative. Getting your breath purges your negative emotion. Getting your breath means you begin to squash, washboard, take your organs, put them in a washing machine to purge the toxicities out. Getting your breath requires flexibility. Check my shows out, 243, 244, straighttalk.cc, not .com. Check those shows out. Because I go through the muscles you have to stretch that are important. And if you get flexible there, much more flexible, at some point you have a shot at beginning to open the diaphragm. And we have schools. There's information all over the internet. Here's a way to start. Go to picture number 10. Lie on your back and put a water bottle or a board or something on your belly. And inhale through your nose and try to lift the board or the water bottle. Whatever on your belly, as you inhale through your nose, you've got to begin to lift it. Do you know how many people can't do that? It'll flip you out. How many people, if you ask them to simply let their belly hang out when they inhale, they can't do it. They can't do it because they're so stuck in their breath pattern. You've learned to tuck it in. You've learned to push it in so you don't look fat. You've learned to push it in to show respect. Our culture doesn't let people relax in the belly. And then all of a sudden, you're supposed to have belly breath. Military posture. Think about it. Military posture. Military posture where you salute, that is a posture of high anxiety. Well, maybe you have to go to a state of very high neurotic anxiety to put a uniform on and to risk your life. I don't know, but the bottom line is when you do a military posture and you tuck that belly in, you live in anxiety because you can no longer get your breath. And we're all taught this. We're all taught this in school. One way or the other, we're taught to tuck that belly in for one reason or the other. And then we turn around and here you're supposed to let that belly out. You don't know how to do it. So here's one of the great primers. You lie on your back. You put something on your belly. You inhale through the nose and you try to let that belly come up. Now, I put a great little site. I put a great little link on the website today, all the way up at the top there. It says chest versus belly breath. Most people are chest breathers. They inhale and they just push all the air up into their chest. They begin the breath by expanding their chest. This is a useless, non-energetic, ineffective way to breathe, and most people breathe this way. When you're breathing into your chest, there's no way your diaphragm is pushing down. When you're breathing into your chest, your belly is going in, not out. It's the opposite. It's reverse breath. It's breath that keeps you in sympathetic dominance. Sympathetic dominance induced through chest breathing means your organs are never going to relax. It means your cells are never going to be given the electromagnetic pulse that forces, that compels those herbs and the food and all the good things you feed yourself. Without a diaphragmatic breath, without a parasympathetic pulse, without an induction of the vagus nerve into your organ systems, your cells will not know how to organize a healing. Now listen to that language. That is a language I speak to you right now. That's a language. That's a language that most people haven't got the slightest notion of what that means. And yet you must. If you're new to this show, listen up. Do not turn this show away because I am not selling an herb. Do not turn this show away because it's too complicated. Get on the website and just continually listen until this stuff sinks in. And if it turns you on and you find that you need supervision because you're complicated, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Call, make an appointment, and get set straight. Even if you can only do it one time, do it. It'll change you. If you listen to me, if you listen to what's on these shows, you will get to the other side of your health concern. It's a matter of faith at a certain level. Did God put, let me ask you a very scientific question, did God put enough sacred mechanisms in your body that if compelled, if assuaged, if stimulated to work more efficiently, did God put enough of those mechanisms in there to create a total healing? I pity you if you think not. Truly. My experience has told me there's dust on my microphone. My experience has told me that there are enough systems in the body to create miraculous healings. And yet few of us abide that. I think that's unfortunately because we're young in our evolution. We have a somewhat mythical, myopic view of what it takes to heal. And I'm not talking about the allopaths. I'm not talking about your hospitals. I'm asking you to consider that there's a wonderful upgrade emerging in what we mean by holistic health. And rather than apply herbs and singular therapies to a symptom, what you want to use holistic health for is an inquiry into the laws of healing. You want to utilize your practitioners to teach you the laws of healing and relax behind your symptom and your pain and the fact that you want it to free up and to end tomorrow. What you want to do is use your practitioner as an educator to get you to embrace and absorb the deeper levels of healing. And if you do that, that's where the miracle is. It's not in superficial approaches. I did all that for years. It doesn't work. One quick crack to the neck, one needle in your spine, a nutritional supplement, a massage, a hodgepodge of therapies thrown down with respect to your finances and your budget. When we have these mechanisms like breath, biliary patency, being able to contact the tendon, being able to purge the emotion, bringing yourself to the point where your intuitive faculties are guiding a healing. These are a number of principles of natural laws. And if you come to those, and breath is one of the great ones, well, then you activate mechanisms that are way beyond our understanding in terms of their scope of benefit. That is the way you, as well as your practitioner, should look at your healing. All right. Now, go to picture number 19. Take a look at 19. If you are congested through the nose, get it figured out. Get it fixed, because you can't have this pranic release through breath unless you can get air through the nose. Mouth breathing will not get you there. Mouth breathing may start you there. Holotropic breath, other forms of breath work that'll have you take it in through the mouth, but it will not get you there. Breath through the nose, if your nose is clear, if you've got a deviated septum, if you've got a crooked nose, if you've got nasal polyps, if you've got all sorts of expansions and scarring in the turbinates, if your nose is always stuffed in mucusy for whatever reason, reflexes off a toxic liver, reflexes off a toxic colon, reflexes off a bad digestive system, so that the nose is always stuffed. If that's you, you've got to get the nose open. Air through the nose is everything. Now, why? What does air through the nose have to do with patency in the breath? Picture number 21. Picture number 21. If you're driving, take your skull and pull it off and take your brain out and then look down into the base of the skull. So the top half of your skull comes off, pull your whole brain out and look down into that. Now, if you're looking at the picture, that orange bone there, the frontal bone, in the center of it, there's something called the cribriform plate of the ethmoid bone. Those of you driving, take your finger, imagine it between your eyebrows. Put your finger right between your eyebrows. There's that little bump there in the frontal bone. Go back about an inch or two. And you're in a sinus. In other words, a bony region that's got a lot of little holes in it. That bony region is part of the ethmoid bone. And in the center of that bone is a dividing line called the crista galli. If you trace that word back, and I mean back, don't think you're getting this out of a dictionary. You've got to go back to old ancient Egyptian culture. I'm talking about pre-dynastic Egypt. I'm talking about languages that are barely available today. I'm talking about languages you have very few scholars understanding. That crista galli means starship. It's a gateway to the heavens. Because if you take breath through the nose, you begin to vibrate through the sinus, the crista galli, meaning the cribriform plate divided by the crista galli. And as that area vibrates with the vibration driven by air through the nose, it will start to tintillate, to stimulate, to massage the dural sheath. The dural sheath, meaning the skin around the brain, around the spinal cord, attached to your sacrum. And you know about the dura mater. Picture 22. Picture 23, picture 24. The brain is cut three-dimensionally. It's separated three-dimensionally with the dural tissue. It's cut down the middle through the falx cerebrae. It's cut through the other sphere, the other plane, and the transverse plane through the tentorium cerebelli. And the brain is surrounded by the dural tissue, and surrounding the spinal cord is the dural tissue. Your brain and spinal cord, that which controls the electromagnetic you, is completely wrapped by the dura. It's wrapped. Is it wrapped tight by your dural tissue? If the torque in the dura is wrapped too tight, you're in trouble. Underneath the chemistry of your disease is the ethers, is the electromagnetic perspective. The electrical you controls the biochemical you, and the electrical you is about the frequencies in the hypothalamus, the pituitary, the pineal. In fact, this whole vibrating frequency of the brain and spinal cord is controlled by the tension in the dural tissue, which is heavily affected by the breath. You'll have to listen to the show again, and you will, and you should. And if you're driving and you don't listen to the show again and you give any attention to your health on any other level, you're missing the point. There are very few things that will bring you a more rapid return to equilibrium in your health than getting your breath. It's not a weekly project. It's not a monthly project. It takes time. Do you understand how much sensationalism, how much, well, what do you want to call it? I don't know. Innocence. American innocence that suggests we can get over symptoms, diseases, problems that have taken us 10, 20, 30, 40 years to build, and we're going to get over it in a week or a month. There is a day of reckoning coming. And part of that reckoning is about understanding that to get your breath may take some time. You may have to work on it 6 months, a year. Or you could get it tomorrow. You don't really know unless you try. You've got to try. You've got to say, this guy makes sense. He's not selling. There's no agenda here. I'm asking you to consider that whatever your health concern is, bring a gradual shift in the autonomic nervous system through the breath. Get to know what these things mean. Now, it means most functionally that your dural tissue is softening. And as the dural tissue softens, you will feel the streamings. You will feel the prana begin to flow. But it requires flexibility. It requires cleansing. It requires inquiry into the exercise of breath. Demanding and using as a indice of efficiency the continuing, deepening response called prana, that warm glow. That you already understand, because you've all had at some time in your life your hair washed on a Friday afternoon after a sweaty week at work. So you do understand this because you have animals. You do understand this because you watch babies breathe. But if this is not your daily experience and you have health concerns, focus here, my friends. Focus here. Understand what it is to use breath through the nose. And if your nose is occluded, fix it. And if your tendons are too tight, stretch them and work with it until you start to feel breath have that magnetic release to you. Because underneath that, what you'll begin to do is change the flow of cerebral spinal fluid. And you'll start to get shifts in terms of the frequencies of the hypothalamus, of the pituitary, of the pineal. And you have to understand what we mean. I did a show a week ago on activating the crown. Breath is what activates the crown. breath is one of the great tools to activate the central intelligence agency of your organism. Can you imagine a world with a perception of health that each and every month held you accountable, or each and every year held you accountable to these principles? Why is the world so split on this? Are we all not one species, or should we question this? Do we have different species of these people on the planet? How can so many people, how can the institutions at large not hold these sacred mechanisms the priority? How? Consider that. Just take a moment to consider the world you're in and how these things are not held sacred. Rather than that, we hold pharmaceutical drugs sacred. We take the best minds and we train them as pharmaceutical chemists to bypass these processes and to produce pharmaceutical drugs. In the name of what? We cut organs out when we don't need to, instead of reconstituting them with the laws of health. So who are we as a species? Perhaps we're more than one species. You may say it's the devil. Well, the devil looks like he's winning at the present moment, I would say. So are we approaching a day of reckoning? Well, my advice to you is to use holistic medicine, to use holistic health as a tool to bring light to your life. Start with your life. And that's the way you have to look at it. Breath is a gateway to the higher self. So, if you're in the early stages, if you are in that phase of really unknowing, if this is completely and totally new to you, I want to turn you on to a couple of concepts here. If you begin an inquiry, I want you to go down to picture 29. There's a guy named David Elliott, and he's one of the better breath teachers. There are breath teachers. Take a course somewhere in breath. Just that alone. These courses are always inexpensive because not enough people want to do them, because not enough people are in the know. And if you get a gifted breath teacher, you're talking about the finest investment of your dollar. Now, there's one guy, David Elliott. You can look him up on internet. He's been doing breath seminars for years. He's a very gifted guy. Then there's another guy named Stan Grof. Stan Grof developed holotropic breath work. Stan Grof was a psychiatrist, is a psychiatrist. He's still alive. He's an older gentleman now. He was a psychiatrist. He was head of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. An enormously credentialed, enormously intelligent individual. And Stan Grof needed a way to reach out to more people in that commonsensical way that attracts and makes sense to the masses. And out of that came holotropic breath work. Now you've got David Elliott, you've got Stan Grof, you have breath work chops that are given by people. And they're all pointing to this critical significance behind breath. So there's lots of venues for you, and if you can't get to any of that, then what you can definitely do is start by putting a bottle on your belly. That bottle on your belly is an easy exercise if you just get that. But you know how many people, when they put that bottle there, I've done this many times, you put the bottle there, and they can't push the belly out when they breathe. The only thing they can do is tuck the belly in when they breathe. That's called a reverse breather. Lots of you listening today are reverse breathers. Now, on the way up, as you maybe are fortunate enough to push that belly out, at some level above the belly, you're going to feel restriction. That's where you need to work. So if we were talking about the exercise of breath, we would be talking about first getting in touch with the belly breath. We would then be talking about feeling where above and beyond that belly breath, the restriction lies. It may lie a little higher. It may lie a little higher. The fascinating thing about where you find the restriction in your breath as you move up from the belly button is where you find the restriction is where you are personally stuck in your life. Are you stuck in rage? Are you stuck in sadness? Are you stuck in grief? Are you stuck in fear? A lot of people that can't get it out of the belly are stuck in fear. A lot of people who can't get it out of the solar plexus are stuck in rage. A lot of people who are stuck between the nipples are stuck in sadness. And a lot of people who can't get the breath into the upper chest are stuck in grief. People who can't get it into the throat are stuck in the throat. Those are five chakras. Breath and the exercise of breath through the nose, belly out, and just keep inhaling. Breath will take you to your emotional blockage. Isn't that fascinating? It's all fascinating. It's all worth inquiry. It's all worth listening to the show again and again and again. And if you're new to the show, the website, straighttalk.cc. And if you're lost in the labyrinth of help and you need guidance, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.